Today is February the 27th, 1973, a Tuesday. The following interview is with Robert Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, a staff assistant on the Domestic Council, who was assigned to Lewis Engman. The interview will take place in the Federal Trade Commission building, room 442. The interviewer is Terry Good.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That thing will pick up everything, including the traffic out on the street, so we don't have any problem with that. Some of these questions I already know the answers to, but simply for the sake of the tape and the record, I'll ask them of you again, and we can just flash through the very simple ones. To start with, you joined the Domestic Council staff March of 1972, according to your resume.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's right.
And your last day over there was sometime February of 73.
Correct.
For the time that you were over there, you were a staff assistant?
For the entire period.
For the entire period. And for that entire period, you were working with Lewis Engman?
Yeah, I was on the Domestic Council the entire time. Staff assistant to the president, assigned to Lou Engman, who was an assistant director during the entire time period that we're talking about.
Hopefully, as the years go on, and we have a chance to get into the files out in California at the library, we'll come up with questions after having gone through the files. And these questions, in most cases, will only be answerable by the people that were doing it. With that in mind, we always like to ask, where can we reach you, if not by telephone, perhaps by mail, 10 years from now? Most people chuckle, but we've got to, some people give us the permanent address of, maybe they got a permanent mailing address. Others say, well, my parents probably aren't going to move, or I've got a brother or sister somewhere that's probably going to remain where they are. I noticed you're a member of the Michigan Bar. I assume that you'll maintain that.
Yeah, that would be one source. I can give you my parents' address, which is in Michigan, 617 Greencroft Court. And that is Williamston, Michigan.
Is that G-R-E-E-N-C-R-O-F-T? W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S-T-O-N?
That's right.
Okay. Judging from this file classification scheme that you handed me, would it be possible for a researcher going through these files, as well as the files of Lou Engman and the Domestic Council in general, to come up with a fairly reliable understanding of your responsibilities and activities? Granted, everything isn't put down on paper, but...
Surely. This would certainly cover the scope of virtually everything that I did. Needless to say, it doesn't indicate where the emphasis was.
All right.
I expect this will be discoverable once people become aware of the bulk of some of the files and the relative dearth of information in some others. But basically, I was active in three areas. One was tax reform, and under that, as subheads, should be included school finance. And the second subhead would be aid for non-public schools. And the second major area was consumer affairs. And then finally, the general antitrust policy area.
in these three areas, who has been assigned the responsibility for picking up where you left off and continuing, if in fact these three areas are going to receive continuing attention?
Lou had the primary responsibility for all of these areas. I did general backup work, as did Hank Paulson. And Hank focused in the tax reform area and those two subheads which I mentioned before. I presume, although I don't have any definite knowledge of this, that he will continue to pursue these activities since he's still there. It is my further understanding that insofar as the domestic council is concerned, at least, Jeff Shepard will be undertaking to pursue the antitrust policy area. And as you can see on this sheet of paper here, he received 10 or so files that I had accumulated in that area. Finally, Jim Cavanaugh, in his assignment of following the whole human resources area, will be keeping track of consumer matters and will be coordinating with Virginia Now. So as I see it, these will all continue to be carried out.
Who was your secretary while you were over there, Rob? Or did you share Liz?
No, Phyllis Kunkel.
How do you spell her last name?
It's K-U-N-K-E-L.
Has she remained over there? Or?
No. As I understand it, her last day at work was last Friday.
Where is she going the other night?
Right now she's skiing in Colorado. She has an address here in town.
She's from Washington, is that right?
She's not from here.
But at least for the foreseeable future, she's going to remain. The only reason we're so inquisitive about that is that people tell us oftentimes that a secretary can fill you in on a lot of things that perhaps would have been overlooked by their boss or something.
She has an address here in Washington, but I don't know what that is.
All right.
But I can tell you who can give it to you. Well,
all right.
Well, I guess you can get it anyway from Campbell's office.
Good deal. That's good.
And she is on a 2-week vacation right now, and she'll be returning.
Probably well
not
deserved.
To the domestic council, however. She wanted to break away from the secretarial grind and expand her outlook on the world, so she was going to go look for a job, perhaps in the travel industry or something like that. But she has an address here.
Good. That's good.
And you know, you might want to talk with her fairly soon, because I take it she's in a position where she can leave the area with very little notice to anybody.
Okay.
She is single.
Are there any magazine or newspaper articles that come to mind that are either particularly good or particularly bad? We ask that so that a researcher 20 years from now who happens to stumble across something that might be very lengthy, and based upon that, they would assume it must be a very good article, would come waving this up at us at the library and say, hey, I just found this gold mine, isn't this great? If we've got somebody's word on it who's actually involved in some of these projects, and we can say, well, yes, it is good, or no, it isn't good, we feel like we're doing them a service. At the same time, if it is good, we'll go out of our way to find a copy of it and put it in the files.
Now, you're talking about any articles, magazine, or newspaper which might have been directed toward the issues we've been discussing, published
yes.
during that.
Yes, and hopefully might have mentioned you specifically or Lou Ingman.
Well, I guess I just have to let Lou speak for himself. No, none mentioned me at all.
Okay.
Which was fine from my point of view. I guess that there aren't any that readily come to mind. You know, if you give an interview to a guy or something like that, naturally you follow it up. I mean, there are just hundreds of stuff.
Yeah.
Some are better than others, and I can't say that any 100% an accurate characterization of what we were trying to do. I guess I just can't give anything particularly good. Now, Lou might be helpful. Obviously, he was at a different level and had occasion to speak with these guys once or twice, but I pretty much stayed out of it.
We often receive the response that, well, National Journal's articles are by and large fairly good to the degree that, to the depth that they've gone. In several cases, maybe their emphasis is a little off, but factually, they're pretty much on target.
Well, they're thoroughly researched. These guys do a very comprehensive job. As a general matter, it's a good source. I think it's a source of in-depth general information, but it's not always your best source of timely information. That if you wait for them to bring it to you, you're in trouble. But if you're talking about, in other words, as a source of what's going on, it doesn't have that much value, but certainly as a vehicle for explaining a position or an issue to a periodical, a fairly limited circulation, but fairly good authenticity, I think that's very helpful. One of the better ones.
Nothing would have appeared in any of the law journals or business journals or anything of that nature that comes to mind. Those are primarily outside our scope of review. You know, we scan all the local newspapers and all the more popular weekly magazines, but beyond that, we generally don't have the time or the resources to check some of the others.
I attended a seminar on taxation in Boston, which must have been in April of last year. There were no administration spokesmen participating, at least at the sessions which I attended. And I attended these with Roy Mori. Tie that in together. There was some worthwhile discussion there, and some of those papers have been published. These were analyses pretty much by professors and the like of the issues of tax reform, the value-added tax, school finance reform, this kind of thing. And generally, professionally done, reflecting all viewpoints. But then again, that's a very general kind of thing, and may not be the kind of thing. Yeah, you're looking for either criticism of administration proposals or explanation of administration proposals. Many of the things we worked on never fully germinated while we were there, although I think we can see in this Congress a lot of these things are going to come out. So that, in fact, the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, the Bob Merriam Group, was working on the whole issue of school finance reform for virtually the entire time that I was there. And this, of course, included several administration members, secretaries. Well, Secretary Schultz was a member, George Romney was a member, and so on. And they were working on this concurrently. And there were certain communications between the president and chairman of the ACIR, Bob Merriam, back and forth, which obviously are very critical to anyone who wants to study what was going on in the policy areas for our school finance reform, Serrano cases, property tax reform, this kind of thing are concerned.
Obviously, these are going to be big issues.
Obviously. and they haven't fully germinated yet. And I'll be very curious to see how they come out on all of these things.
Your answer in terms of magazine, journal, professional journal, what have you type publications doesn't surprise me. By and large, there isn't that much in print, and I rarely encounter someone who can say, well, yes, there was an article that I wrote for a magazine.
Oh, yeah, well, sure, but I didn't do any of that, you see.
Yeah. I think that's probably the case, by and large, for everyone, the Nixon White House.
Well, your speechwriters participated, obviously.
Right, but outside of one or two cases,
yeah.
I don't think many of the people were encouraged to submit articles.
No, I just never became involved in that kind of thing at all.
I think it reflects, again, the anonymity approach that I think John Ehrlichman for the Domestic Council wanted, as well as the president himself. So
absolutely. No, I never saw my name in print the whole time I was there. But I'm sure someone would have told me if it had been.
Well, having got some of those preliminary questions out of the way, the Domestic Council, as I have come to understand it, was in many cases a very loose and freewheeling, almost unstructured operation, in spite of the fact that you can draw all sorts of organization charts for it. You worked with Lou Engman. You mentioned that you attended this seminar in Boston with Roy Morey, who administration or organizationally was primarily assigned to Ed Harper. Could you very briefly explain whether or not Lou Engman was, in fact, more or less an individual operating off in this one area, more or less by himself, with you assisting him, or was there this interface, this interrelationship with other staff members?
Well, the Domestic Council, as I understand it, started up almost as an ad hoc organization and grew as needs became apparent, and grew throughout the 4 years. Lou came on board perhaps at the midpoint of the first term. I came on board 6 months before the election. Sure, there was a good deal of interface. And as far as the school finance situation is concerned, are you talking about education or are you talking about finance? Well, obviously you're talking about both. And in as much as Ed Harper had people like Roy, who knew an awful lot about education, and insofar as Lou was assigned most tax matters, Roy did a good deal of work with Lou on this subject, and I worked with Roy there. He was probably the one person outside our three-man shop, Lou, Hank, and me, with whom I had the most contact. And that was at a fairly early stage. Hank came on after I did, and once he got there, he really assumed primary responsibility under Lou for the tax area, including school finance. He wasn't a lawyer. So I continued to plug myself into the decisions, and in the non-public area, talking about all these recent cases on state laws providing assistance for parents of children attending non-public schools, whether it's direct assistance, whether it's tax credits, and so forth. I tended to follow this very carefully. And now we have, what, about four cases pending before the Supreme Court? Ohio, Pennsylvania, and a couple of New York cases. So I tended to help Hank in that area where there was a legal question. And of course, Lou retained oversight of all of this throughout.
But for the most part, then, you people were working on some, in some subject areas that did not involve you on a regular basis with other members of the domestic council.
I'd say that's correct. Mm-hmm. Well, I would have to speak for myself.
Well, that's right. And the question was phrased to you rather than to Lou or the rest of his operation. Were you involved in these projects in such a way that you were working constantly with Lou or with Hank, or were, you're going to have to break the question down, of course, in terms of the subject, but were you more often than not going off on your own as an individual and handling certain areas? Or? Again, it
depends. Well, I think, the tax area, and again, I'm including the school finance problem, the non-public area, we really all attempted to have an input there and to present our views, which Lou would digest and dispose of one fashion or another. And I think we all kind of tended to keep our finger on that. Hank was never involved in either consumer affairs or antitrust. And I think, you know, Lou and I worked very carefully on, closely on that. I think probably the one thing I did, for which, you know, I had virtually all the responsibility, was maintaining liaison with this fire commission, the President's Commission on Fire Prevention and Control, which is due to report in July of this year, but which may report even earlier than that. Now, I pass that file on to Dana Mead. And I presume that he'll be monitoring it or that he will give it to somebody else. But. So that's one thing which no one else on the domestic council really knew anything about at all. It was something that proceeded very smoothly and just wasn't anything that had to be escalated. They're doing a fairly good job. So Lou said, take this. Okay, so I took that. Just about everything else, you see, we had a lot of legislation in the consumer area last year. And needless to say, there was continuous coordination with Virginia Nauer's office, with the departments and agencies involved, with the White House Congressional Liaison Office, on all of these bills relating one way or another to consumer protection.
Let me throw a couple of questions at you about both the Fire Commission and the legislation. First of all, this fire commission, were you meeting with this group weekly or irregularly or just handling it?
My primary contact was Howard Tipton, who is the executive director of the commission. And it was really strictly a liaison function. This was a commission which was appointed in its entirety by the president. And needless to say, we wanted to follow it very carefully. Their recommendations have not yet been finalized. I would say that they've done a responsible job, and insofar as the recommendations they're going to make which concern the federal role, I think they've done a very responsible job. And to the extent that White House direction was desirable or necessary, it wasn't. They pretty much proceeded in a very responsible fashion, and Tipton did a good job. So really my function here is kind of monitoring this and suggesting if there are more than two ways to arrive at a recommendation or to structure a recommendation. I tried to give him some help there and bring OMB into operation also.
In terms of legislation in the consumer area, you mentioned coordination you have with Virginia Now, mm-hmm. Departments, agencies, White House, Congressional Relations. Mm-hmm. Starting with Virginia Now's operation, were there several people there that you dealt with on a regular basis that...
I dealt with her general counsel, Bob Montgomery, on a daily basis.
Does this mean by phone, or were you two
by phone,
at the meeting?
Meetings, both.
And was it generally a case where he would be asking for your advice, your legal advice, as well as for policy guidance on legislation that...
Well, mostly a policy guidance kind of thing, a coordination kind of thing. Obviously, there were divergent views between the Department of Commerce, say, on the one hand, some of this legislation. Perhaps the Department of Justice, perhaps Virginia's office, and presumably it's a function of the domestic council to try to resolve these kinds of conflicts, and that's what I was doing. And had an extraordinarily large amount of contact with Bob, you know, insofar as Virginia's interests and recommendations were concerned.
How about departments and agencies? Were there specific people that come?
Yeah, the guy I worked with in the Commerce Department in the General Counsel's office, fellow by the name of Mike Butler, under Bill Wetzel.
Was Commerce the main department or agency that you dealt with in consumer?
Well, no, it depended on the kind of legislation we're talking about now. The product safety legislation, which was enacted into law, and for that reason provides perhaps the best focal point for discussing the legislation. This was principally an HEW-led area. And that file, or that series of files, probably would reveal in the greatest detail, you know, my involvement in tracking some legislation down the path, the input of the administration views to the Congress, and the input from HEW, a certain amount from the Commerce Department, clearly OMB, clearly Virginia Now's office, and where we wound up on it. You know, if I had to single out an area where I concentrated my greatest efforts, probably a lot of it was on that legislation.
Who were you dealing with over at HEW?
Well, Steve Kurzman was and is Assistant Secretary for Legislation. And he was a principal contact there.
OMB?
Well, Jay Brenneman was the guy who was tracking the legislation, but I guess we dealt with Dwight Enk, those two.
Any other legislative bills that come to mind that were significant, regardless of whether or not they got their way through Congress or not?
Well, of course, the Consumer Protection Agency legislation, which was killed by a Senate filibuster, which had passed the House, was another one in which we had a good deal of interest. In that case, the administration supported the House-passed bill. The Senate held out the legislation, which we felt encompassed many undesirable features. And as a result, there was no bill at all. So that was another one which we followed carefully.
Any names that come to mind?
Basically, the same cast of characters.
As far as the White House Congressional Relations Office, you probably worked with any and all of those people over there, right?
Well, I think the whole office is only six guys.
That's why I said you probably worked with all of them. From
well,
Timmons.
Sure. We worked with Timmons, Wally Johnson, Tom, Corey Logos, Max, Dick Cook. No question about it, we worked with all of them. Principally Wally.
In the area of antitrust policy, again, I take it that this was something that you and Lou Engman worked on. You said Hank Paulson probably was never involved in that to any significant
degree. Well, if he was, I never knew anything about it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure with a small shop like you had, it'd be pretty hard to
do. Well, no, this is an area where you have to, damn near have to be a lawyer. And for that reason, you just never get involved. Now, as far as antitrust policy is concerned, policy development, no significant legislation involved in the period I was there. No major effort to develop any changes in this area. And therefore, really it was more a general liaison and coordination function on relatively minor bills. On which testimony was requested of Antitrust Division, Commerce Department, and so forth. So that you had I'm looking through here just to see if I can refresh my memory.
Are there any names of people that come to mind in Commerce, or I suppose even over here at FTC?
Well, it was Bill Letson's shop in Commerce, of course. General Counsel. Same thing over here, Ron Dietrich and Tom Kuiper at Justice. I recall that the testimony was requested of the Antitrust Division on the so-called El Paso legislation, natural gas antitrust exemption, very complicated kind of thing, been going on for years, it's all in the files. Also the so-called bottling legislation, which deals with exclusive territorial arrangements. The so-called bottling legislation, which again is an antitrust exemption case in which the FTC is involved now. In the adjudicative posture. And other than that, there were just no major issues which developed during the time that I was in.
Did you spend much of your time in contact with or physically up on Capitol Hill?
No. It was always my view that we had people responsible for maintaining that liaison, and even though I had worked on the Hill immediately prior to working for the domestic council and felt that I had a sensitivity to some of their problems, I always made an effort to work through channels and to present my views to the people down there who had the responsibility of working for them and to see if we felt the same way about these kinds of issues. And I felt that I was able to bring something to the council that way. Well, needless to say, I maintained the people I knew maintain contact with the people in Griffin's office and Griffin and the other people I knew down there. But as far as these issues were concerned, no. Aside from attending one or two hearings, as a spectator, I can't recall that I went to the Hill at all during the entire year.
Did you do any traveling outside of Washington, D.C.?
Aside from that one trip to Boston, none whatsoever.
A lot of the people on the domestic council, as well as on the White House itself, have legal backgrounds, are lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
In some of these interviews, I've discovered that that legal background was of considerable help to them, but the work they were doing was not that of a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
but they were doing other things. In your case, I get the impression that your role was that of a lawyer, and that a good portion of your time was spent in working with legal cases and legislation from the point of view of a lawyer. Do I have a general feel correct?
Well, I really think your first characterization is probably more apt,
but
it was useful to me. But that, aside from the non-public school question, and possibly the question of property tax relief and school finance, and you're talking about the Serrano case, and where is it going? I cannot recall that I did any legal research or legal analysis whatsoever. Again, you know, the president has counsel assigned to him for this purpose, and they have a staff. We also have the Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department. In those two areas, I certainly did act as a lawyer, read a few cases, tried to reach an independent judgment and recommendation, which then we would match up against what other lawyers throughout the government were thinking about. But the rest of it, sure, it's very helpful to have a legal background. Because you are dealing with lawyers so many times, particularly in some of these areas. But for the most part, it was a question of having that background and being able to negotiate and deal and with people and coordinate functions. And certainly, I never felt, in most situations, that I had a better substantive knowledge of any area than the person that I was dealing with.
Again, the generalist
Again,
approach.
Very definitely a generalist approach. Clearly, when you're looking at a tax reform proposal, which has been made by the Treasury Department, with its hundreds of lawyers having an input over several years, you aren't nitpicking it to death. I mean, you're looking at broad policy. And you were looking at it differently than a lawyer would look at it. You have to. I mean, that was just simply not our function. So I would think it was certainly a generalist kind of approach.
More a policy person rather
Absolutely.
Than a lawyer.
Okay. Absolutely. Even though I was very much assigned, you know, within the chain of command, and I never felt, except on fairly rare occasions, that I was making policy decisions myself. I saw myself as a support person, as a staff person, who was making recommendations and perhaps playing the devil's advocate and trying to bring all views together so that these could be focused in a piece of paper for the president or for John or whatever. And certainly it was our function to assure that there weren't any options left out, but also, of course, to incorporate our judgment. But, you know, at the level I was, I would certainly not say that I was making many of those decisions myself.
But But in these three areas that you had responsibility, tax reform, consumer affairs, antitrust policy, would we be misleading researchers if we were to tell them that Lou Engman and Rob Lewis, in some cases Hank Paulson, were the three people on the domestic council that were primary in these three areas?
Absolutely.
That would be a correct...
I'm sorry, yes, that would be a correct assessment. You would not be misleading.
Continuing up the chain of command of the domestic council, did Ken Cole and John Ehrlichman, by and large, accept what Lou Engman and you, and in some cases Hank Paulson, sent up to them in the way of papers, guidance, and opinions?
For the most part, yes, based on the feedback that I had.
Did you have many contacts with Ken Cole, John Ehrlichman?
Frankly, there was only one occasion, I believe, where, you know, I sat down in a fairly small group with John and discussed the matter. More frequent contacts with Ken. Those usually when Lou would advised me that either, you know, he didn't have a chance to develop this for Ken, and I just go to him directly, or he would be out of town or something like this. But for the most part, I worked through Lou. I found it to be, you know, a completely satisfactory arrangement. I felt it was an entirely satisfactory pipeline as far as I was concerned. I thought that if I had input which I considered to be valuable, and if I could convince my immediate boss, Lou, that it had merit, that it would reach John's desk. And that obviously, if he thought it had merit, it would reach the president's desk. So that even though I was two levels or whatever, three levels below the president, I never, and never was involved, as a matter of fact, directly in a working relationship with the president. I always felt that my views had a better chance of getting there than some others who might be higher in the hierarchy, but off to one side or who had to work through different channels.
The motive behind the question is simply to continue to try and understand the organization, the structure, and the way the domestic council functions. I've encountered a couple of people in the domestic council who, much to my surprise, as I understood their explanation, they were reporting in some cases to Ken Cole rather than the person who was the man that they were assigned to on the organization chart. They were reporting to Cole, frequently just bypassing that person for any number of reasons. And,
Well, I think, you know, Ed Harper had a very large operation. And there were a couple people who surely developed a lot of expertise on their own. And, you know, I suppose Ed thought it was rather pointless to have them going through him when he didn't have much to add to whatever it is they had to say, to just keep him advised. In particular, there might have been people who were there working for with Ed who had been there for 3 or 4 years. In my case, I came on for Lou after he'd been there for a year. Lou had no staff whatsoever. He was forced to acquire, you know, the substantive command of all these areas. And so that Well, aside from the fire business, you know, which had I stayed on, I would have been reporting, you know, virtually right on through, because no one else would have been there to screen it, because no one else would know anything about it. You know, aside from that, you know, Lou always had almost as much substantive knowledge in most of these areas, and certainly a big a command of the big picture, more so than I did. And, so that I virtually always went through.
Was Lou's operation one in which you got together every day for a regular little briefing or meeting?
We got together every day.
Just a regularly scheduled morning meeting at 8:30 or 9 o'clock or something like
no,
that?
No, not really. He'd generally call us in when it was mutual.
Did you ever have occasion to attend those 7:30 meetings at John?
I never attended them, no. But generally speaking, Lou would bring us in after those meetings and pass on the word, as it were.
I understand Ken Cole often would have a meeting with the deputy assistants following the 7:30 meeting. Did that ever include you?
No.
Of these three broad areas, Rob, could you give me any sort of a rough percentage breakdown in terms of the amount of time you spent in each one of them as opposed to the others, so we get some little better feel for?
Well, if you look at the year as a whole, I probably spent more than half my time working on consumer matters. In the early part of my tenure, I probably spent 80% of my time working on tax, school finance, and that business. But after Hank came on board, he gradually assumed more and more of that responsibility. So that toward the end, I was doing very little of that at all. The antitrust always ran a distant third. You know, the issues just were simply not hot.
Ed Morgan and his assistant Clausen had a lot to do with what's popularly known as the busing and the school problem. Did you people ever have much contact with them?
No. Not, you mean on the busing issue?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty much resolved by the time I got there.
That's right.
Legislation which the president sent down had been sent or was in a final draft stage by the time I arrived. I had a good deal of interest in that since Senator Griffin had a good deal of interest in it. But all of the decisions had been made by the time I got there.
That generally hits those big broad questions and areas that we generally pursue in this. You've given me some idea of who you worked with and how much time you spent with them, both within the Executive Office of the President and outside it, the project and subject areas you were involved in, documentation, future address, organization of the Lehman office. Those are the type of questions we hope to cover in this very preliminary and general interview. And with that, then, we can begin to pursue you in more depth and detail when we get out to California and start going through the files. And
What's your time frame on all of this? When does the sensitive information become desensitized?
I guess it depends upon the issue and the degree of sensitivity to some of that material. We obviously don't pursue it at this point. In fact, one of the things I try and avoid is to ask any questions that would bring forth from the interviewee his opinion or his appraisal or his evaluation of any of the programs, the projects, or the people involved. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be unfair to ask you at this point in time. So those are the type of questions we have to put off until the president is out of office and your connection with him is perhaps not quite the same as it might be at this point. Mm-hmm. We say 5 years because hopefully at the end of the administration, we will be able to then pursue some of these topics by going through the files, getting a little better grasp and understanding of them. We don't have the time or the resources to do it now. Mm-hmm. And by that time, there'll probably be a number of articles and books and what have you written, so we'll be able to read those and then come back and mm-hmm. sit down with you and say, okay, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that, and the files reveal this. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on all of this, looking back on it? The other presidential libraries have been doing this, and with some degree of success, mm-hmm. we anticipate continuing. But it's one of those things that goes on and on and on. The Truman Library, those people are still doing these horrible mm-hmm. communities.
Oh, sure.
We have the one advantage that, by and large, the Nixon White House is made up of, relatively speaking, young people who will be around for 20 or 30 years. That hasn't always been the case with some of the other administrations, so they really have to get out and hustle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, well, in fact, one of the routine things that their people do is read the obit columns every morning. I don't think we have to worry about that for a while.
No, just keep reading the front page. For a while.
Yeah.
You live in Washington.
Now, obviously, I didn't ask you anything about political involvement, but that's something that we can pursue at some other point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It may end up that you weren't involved in it at all. On the other hand, it may end up that you were. I'd be very hesitant to talk to you about it at this point, since crossing that, that stream at this point. Well, briefly, that's what I came in here for, Rob. Are there any things that you would like to add, perhaps questions that I didn't ask
no,
that you'd like
I
to
just,
comment on?
No. I think it's clear, but to put the whole thing in perspective, just reiterate, you know, what I said before. You know, if there is a Nixon team, and I think that there is, I was a relative latecomer, and it may well be that I have some contribution which I could make subsequently to an understanding of some of the things that happened while I was there. I would just emphasize that I came on and was there for a relatively brief period of time. And I might add, I came on, even in the areas where I was involved, after many, if not most, of the key decisions had been made in some of these areas. So that I obviously am going to be less helpful in trying to draw all the threads together than some of the people who have been not only closer to the president, but also have, were there for a greater period of time to be able to see things in greater, with a better perspective. But
I wouldn't necessarily say a better perspective, I'd say a different perspective.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough.
You'll bring a fresh perspective.
Having had the Hill experience, in some cases playing an adversary role for a period of two years during the administration, and then coming on board and seeing many of the same issues from a very different perspective, this might be where I could be of some value after looking back on things for a few years. And perhaps after looking at things from the FTC, an independent agency, rather than my in-depth view of any particular issue, because there just wasn't that much of it.
Yeah, sure, experience up on the Hill for that first 2 years. I'm sure your comments would shed considerable light on the relationship of Nixon and Congress. And certainly that's an area that a lot of researchers are going to be very fascinated with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it receives a great deal of attention now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a lot to be said for it, both pro and con. And as you say, from the Hill, obviously, it looks a little different from down at the White House. From over here, too.
Well, no question. No question.
I'll write a resume of this up. It will be less than 10 pages and hopefully
you don't make a typescript of this.
At this point, we don't have the time, we don't have the staff. We tried that on a couple of occasions and discovered that the amount of time that it required was just impossible for us.
You keep the tape?
Yes, we do. Initially, we didn't think we would, but it turned out that we felt like we were getting so much valuable information, if nothing more than just the sound of the person's voice at the time that he was on the White House staff. But we have decided to keep the tape. It's the president's property, and it will be treated as any other presidential document is. And to the degree there's anything sensitive on it, you know, it will be handled in that fashion. The resume that I will do and send to you for your modification, revision, or what have you, hopefully will not contain anything sensitive. And if it does, please strike it out, because that resume would be the type of thing that we would give to a researcher if he came in and going through the file said, I find Bob Lewis's name on something relating to antitrust, and I find it on something relating to school finance. Those two seem to be so far apart. Who was it? What did he do? Well, that five-page resume will hopefully serve the purpose of explaining to him in just very general terms who you were and what you did.
Okay.
And then if it turns out that he wants to pursue further some of your activities, then he could go to the Domestic Council files that wherever they might end up and trace you further. But it's just primarily an index, a guide, and it's not by any means intended to be a full and comprehensive analysis of your activities while on the staff. It might be that whenever that researcher reads that resume, he might say, I'd like to listen to the entire tape. If there is nothing on there of any sensitive nature, value, then we would allow him to do that. Unless, of course, for some reason you prefer the tape not be played.
No, I don't.
Rarely, I don't think that's it. Well, it has come up in one or two instances, but by and large, it isn't. Well, with that in mind, I'll turn this rascal off, and we can call it quits.